All right, we welcome everybody, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Texas Football, sponsored and run by InsideTexas.com. So Ian and I are back again to talk spread, and we're going to talk, this is spread 301. So again, 101, we talked about the relationship with the quarterback, the spread, and the running back, specifically the need and the profile of that. We recommend that you check that out. That is going to be in the link below. And then we went to 201 and talked about the tight end, how the quarterback it dictates what type of tight end that you want, and the two various or the two examples of what would make a prime example for each type of quarterback, whether you're a pocket passer or a dual threat quarterback. Now we move to the receivers in 301. And specifically, I want to talk about, Ian, your principle has always been the biggest force multiplier in college football is your outside receivers. Yes. Doesn't matter who your quarterback is. I mean, it does a little bit, but the biggest factor in college football is going to be those outside receivers. I want to talk about how those outside receivers relate to the slot in the spread. So we're about to go into a season where DeAndre Moore is primed to have a very big season, hopefully, especially with Arch, what we saw at with the Mississippi State game and how those two connected. So we've got some hope there that that will continue on. But let's talk about how specifically the spread turns the slot into a primary receiver, and then what that means for those outside receivers.
Yeah. So I guess one of the reasons teams went to the spread was to be able to use slot receivers. And anybody of a certain vintage, as you like to say, that watched Texas play against Mike Leach's Texas Tech teams can recall how Texas Tech was always loaded with slot receivers that looked like you or me.
Yep.
And were somehow indefensible.
Yep.
And just doing all kinds of damage to Texas with just quick routes in the middle of the field. Although I think everybody can also recall that the one guy that did the most devastating damage was Michael Crabtree.
Sure.
This we'll right. get to. And there's two things that makes the slot really dangerous in the spread offense. One is that he's operating in a lot of space. He can go inside and he can go outside. He can go left. He can go right. Cause there's no sideline hemming him in. And then additionally, being able to, that's why the shorter guys are able to play in the slot, whereas maybe you wouldn't want them outside. When you're outside, you have to be able to get your right release past the cornerback and get down the field. And if you're a little guy, you can get jammed up. But if you go into the slot, it's really hard to jam a slot because they can go left, they can go right, they can play a little bit back, and they have more room to operate. The other issue with the defending the slot is that the defenders who are paying attention to him usually have responsibilities in the run game as well. So there's a run-pass conflict dimension that also tends to free him up with space to work in. Then there are the limiting factors for the slot. One is that if it's a pure passing down, it is very easy to bracket the slot receiver because there are defenders all around him. And if they no longer have to worry about the run and they can focus on him, they can hem him in. And then the other issue is that it's harder for him to do touchdown play damage from inside because he's got the safeties over the top of him. He's got linebackers milling about, and he might do a ton of damage on quick passes like a Wes Welker or Danny Amendola back in the day, but it's harder for him to beat you over the top and down the field for touchdowns.
So with that, what is it that the wide receivers on the outside, those burners that Sark really likes to go for, how are they either complementing or creating that force multiplier that you like to talk about so much?
The biggest thing is that because they're outside and they're getting down the field, if something goes wrong for the defense with those guys, it's often 6 points.
Right.
They are the best positioned to just break down the entire structure of the defense by scoring in a single play because they're outside in the most space. Additionally, defenses are generally not designed to help their cornerbacks outside the hash marks covering those guys down the field. Your cornerbacks are usually at least somewhat one-on-one with outside receivers. Theoretically, a two-high defense can put a safety over the top. The way most teams structure their two-high defenses, he can help, but he still has to stay on top of the slot receiver. So he's not, it's not like a true double teaming of the outside guy. Or he's dropping back to the middle to stop the post route, which is run by the outside receiver. So if you take away the post, that's one of the, that's the outside receiver's best weapon. But the corner is still one-on-one on a curl, on a go, on a fade, on a deep in, you know, those are where, those are the, that's where people put their top athletes on both sides of the ball. If you have an absolutely elite coverage defender, you put them at cornerback because that's the position where you have to go one-on-one a lot. And if you have a true burner outside receiver who can get off press coverage, who can catch the ball when there's somebody draped over him and he can still bring down the catch consistently, you put him outside. If he can't do that, you put him in the slot. He doesn't have to worry about it as much because he's just finding open space laterally and getting open and catching it. Your outside guy is your Randy Moss. I'm going to beat the guy across from me. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter where he is. I'm going to get the ball out of the air and make him look stupid. And that's inversely, that's why the NFL wanted to see Jahdae Barron at corner. We knew that he had a difficult job at nickel, but they're like, we can take good NFL corners and move them inside to nickel. You need to prove to us that you can go one-on-one with people outside. And then maybe we'll move you to nickel in the NFL, but we need to see that first.
Right.
And then he did it. He proved it. He won the fourth.
Yeah.
And he's going to get a great draft pick as a result. And maybe he'll go back inside and play nickel or safety or whatever. We'll see. But yeah, that's where the true elite battles take place, is on the very outs, on the outskirts.
I want to obviously bring this back into to Arch, what we think the next season is going to look like in regards to all this. But before we do, I want to hear from our sponsor. Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker. If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, you know, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call. If you know nothing about Arch Manning, you know that Arch throws bombs.
All you need to know.
One of the misconceptions is that because you've got those burners on the outside, that the best way to execute that is just bombs, bombs, bombs. But that's not actually the case. What, when you're, I mean, it's nice. Let's be honest. I mean, that's, we were talking yesterday, like, it'd be nice to have a Gronkowski. Of course it would. It would be amazing to have a Hall of Fame tight end, right? But with this, you were talking a lot about like your posts, all of these different routes that those burners on the outside can create problems for that defense. And one thing that you and Paul brought up a couple shows ago was the idea also of deceleration, right? How to really force that defense to cover with deceleration, especially when you have that speed outside. So let's bring this over to Arch. What do you see in terms of the spread principles and Sark's love of having burners on the outside? How do you see that being maximized in this next season?
Play action bombs.
Sweet. All right. Great.
Progression, drop back, designer shot bombs.
Yeah. Bombs all the time. Great. That's all I need to hear.
He has a few ways to throw bombs and they will all be on display. You know, in college, you can get away with pure speed more, especially if you have a good play action game. You just get guys a little frozen up or a little hesitant, and then the fast guy runs by him, and the quarterback throws it over everybody's head, and then the fight song plays. In the NFL, those things become more the deceleration, catching contested throws. Those things become more important because you're not just going to run by NFL defensive backs like you did in college.
Yep.
Not very often, and not against good teams. So that Matthew Golden's ability to get open, it turned out he was also exceptionally fast. We didn't even necessarily realize that when he was at Texas. But the ability to get open with precision routes and with deceleration and change of direction and different releases, all the like highly skilled stuff matters a lot more. And then the ability to catch the ball when the defender is still near you matters a lot more. But for Arch in Texas, that matters, you know, against Ohio State or Georgia, maybe. And then the rest of the time, you know, just play action, bomb. Get him open.
Okay.
Find the bum hunting, find the slow guy, get your fast guy matched up on him, bomb.
Sark does like finding the slow guy, doesn't he? He really, really enjoys finding the slow guy. Well, that's 301. We've now started again. We started with the quarterback. What kind of running back do we need in a spread, an effective spread? Then we moved on to the tight end. Now we talked about the receivers, specifically the slot, and how that can become a primary requirement, a primary receiver. But it's really those outside receivers that become the force multiplier. Is there anything you want to add to this before we close out? I think we should expect more of you, Ian. And what I mean by that is more of this. This has been really, really helpful for me. So are we going to get a 401? Are we going to get a 501?
There is. Let me add one more detail on force multiplication since you mentioned it. When your receiver can win one-on-one and score quickly, that's obviously very valuable, right?
Sure.
The other thing it does is there's no better way to set up your running back. Because if your outside receiver is so dominant and he can score so quickly and so often, you have to start changing up the structure of your defense to send extra defenders out to cover him. And when you send extra defenders out to cover an outside receiver, they get pulled so far out of the action that they can't realistically help on anything else. So whatever else your offense is doing, it just got easier.
Hmm.
And that's why Texas had, you know, Texas would get to the goal line. That's probably 401. Texas would get to the goal line in 2023 and 2024. And their 1,000-yard running backs were suddenly not as effective anymore. Well, why do you think those 1,000-yard running backs are so effective between the 20s? It's because they had Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden on the outside, and teams were either trying to ask their safeties to cover to maybe help against the run, but stay back or just forget about the run, just focus on this guy. And it made it really hard for anybody to get anyone in the box.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
There's no other position that does that same, has that same impact.
Well, and you've talked about this. I mean, if you look at the last few national championship quarterbacks, it's the primary deciding factor, at least from what you've expressed, has been those outside receivers.
Yeah. I mean, Texas played Ohio State in cover two and said, "We dare you to run the ball on us. We're not going to let Jeremiah Smith beat us." And Notre Dame did the same thing and they couldn't do it as well.
Right.
When you're in the national championship game and the other defense is scrapping what they've done all year to account for your outside receiver, I mean, that's as high. Coaches have said all kinds of stuff. Like Notre Dame's coaches are like, you know, "We're not going to get away from what brought us here." And
sure,
we're a man coverage defense. And then you watch them and it's like, oh, well, those safeties doing 20 yards back.
Again, this has been really fun, Ian. I really appreciate you doing this. I look forward to 401 and 501.